regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I could get some phones. Rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
Just hit the east side of the LBC on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to tweak. All of you search, know what's up with 213.
So I want
to
let this play. This is just going to run out.
No, we need to let the ride.
Dice, so I said, let's do this. I jumped out the rock and said, what's up? Some brothers pulled some gas, so I said, I'm stuck.
Love Thursdays with you because you got that throwback element.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know you say you don't want to be known as a hip hop guy, but you got some great taste in hip hop.
I really do. I mean, I grew up on hip hop and punk rock, so like it's such like a.
That's a healthy. Believe it or not, though, I know this is going to sound weird, but that's actually a pretty healthy mix.
I think so. I mean, it definitely puts life in perspective.
Right.
So
you got the hardcore side of things, but you also got your R&B side.
That's true.
And your hip hop side.
That's true.
This is the stuff that I like to implement to the show here because that's what's missing. I mean, my music taste is not good.
This is just
this stuff though.
This is just such a funky vibe. Like
it's too good. I mean,
that G funk, man. It's missing in hip hop today. Let me tell you.
Welcome to another edition of the pod. It is Thursday, August the 21st. 2014. Currently 10:02 as of this recording in the morning. And there's a lot of things that we have to get to today. We have midweek games in MLS. We had midweek Champions League games in Europe and here in CONCACAF. And we have transfer news. Breck Shea, some interesting news with him we'll get to. Mario Balotelli leaving training. Yeah. In the middle of it, to catch a flight from Milan to where? Manchester? No. London? No. Merseyside? Yes. Liverpool. Yeah. With the shocker of the early part of the season in the Barclays. I love it. And then we also have this nonsense with Jermaine. Which I guess is where we're going to start off today. Because, I mean, we're about, what, 3.5 weeks into this thing and still no home for Jermaine Jones?
Yeah, I mean, well, you can really look. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could really look at it from the end of the World Cup. Like, this guy hasn't had a home to, you know, as far as the soccer team is concerned. But, yeah, I mean, you're looking at 3 weeks since the window closed. Was it 3 weeks yesterday? Or 2 weeks yesterday?
2 weeks yesterday.
2 weeks yesterday. So, for 15 days now.
Yeah.
Revs fans have waited with bated breath for Jermaine Jones to hit a snag with MLS, according to some.
Yeah.
According to others, he signed with MLS for, what, 4 years?
Yep.
Either way, it's not looking good for the Revs.
According to Ben Jada, it's $4 million. Just pull it back up here. It's $4 million. And it's an 18-month contract, which is where we'll start. I honestly believe that Jermaine Jones, with the news that we, because there's an article by Soccer by Ives, we see this report from Ben Jada. Everything is linked with either Chicago or New England, but I'm seeing more reports with Chicago now than I am with New England. I'm starting to get concerned here.
Well, I have read the Ives article, and that's what I'm going with. I'm going with that there's something that is causing a delay. Apparently, it is the fact that Jermaine Jones wants to play in Chicago, and he wants he wants to be closer to his father in Chicago. And as of right now, the league cannot guarantee him going to Chicago. So that is the biggest concern right now.
Why won't the league guarantee him going to Chicago? I don't get that.
It's MLS. I don't get a lot of things that MLS does.
But, like, See, this is the problem with Don Garber, and this is where people talk about transparency in this league, and there's a lack of it.
Absolutely.
If Jermaine Jones wants to go to Chicago, at this point, allow the man to go to Chicago. You know what I mean? Let's get this over with. If anything, it's going to make the Eastern Conference playoff race more competitive down the stretch here, because Chicago, by all means, is a stretch of the imagination. They're not out of it by yet. You know what I mean? So I think that, you know, if MLS wants him to go to New England, then MLS should be paying more money for him to go to New England. He should be getting more money for him to end up with the Revs here. I mean, I understand that maybe now he's getting what he wants from Chicago here, but if the league wants him in New England, shouldn't there be more of a push to get this guy in New England from the league? I mean, this would go beyond a Kraft issue then.
Ultimately, yeah, it looks like, so this is something that's looked as if Jermaine Jones doesn't come to New England, it was going to look bad on the front office. Now, I'm not so sure it does.
Right.
This looks like it's out of the front office's control.
We made our attempt.
And you're going to have your naysayers here that, well, yeah, they just put their name in just to get the attention and to you know, please the fans and to make it look like they tried, but maybe they didn't try hard enough. From what I'm reading, the Revs tried. They did the best they could, and he just doesn't want to come here. That's the concern for me.
Here's the story by Soccer by Ives, because I got it right here. Now I'm jumping down to the second paragraph, and Ives writes, quote, "Sources have confirmed to Goal USA that Jones has agreed to a contract structure to join the Chicago Fire, but because MLS cannot guarantee that Jones will be allocated to the Fire, contract talks with MLS have hit an impasse and no contract has been signed. The New England Revolution and Chicago Fire are both interested in Jones' services, but sources tell Goal USA that Jones would prefer to sign with the Fire. Jones would be willing to join the Revolution, but only for a larger salary figure. Something sources say MLS is unwilling to arrange in order to have Jones sign with the league." So there you go. There you go. The league, and we were just saying it, you want it, if the league wants Jones to go play in New England, the league is going to have to shell out money here and help New England make this deal happen. Now, I'm reading this article here, Brian, and all of a sudden, Chicago, they're just sitting here looking pretty, waiting to get the deal done. This is a done deal. So Jones is out of the question, folks. Goodbye. See you later. That one is going out of here.
Yeah, I mean, it's not looking good. I don't know. It's frustrating. I mean, I wanted Jermaine Jones. I really wanted Jermaine Jones.
It's like that Christmas gift he didn't get.
But unfortunately, it looks more and more that it's not going to happen. And so here we are, 2 weeks and a day after the transfer window for right. MLS closed. And the best we got is Tony Taylor, a name that I have to look up every time because I know nothing about Tony Taylor.
Or Andre Ockman.
Yeah, I mean, that's also the loss of Sire Sen. I mean, sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
Right.
So, yeah.
But this is what amazes me with this Jones deal here. You know, Jada is reporting that Jones is going to sign for $4 million, right, in 18 months?
Yep.
Jones rejected a two-and-a-half-year, $6 million contract offer to join the Fire earlier this month. And this is according to Ives here again. But negotiations with MLS continued, which opened the door for the Revolution to enter the conversation to sign the World Cup standout. Jones, who originally desired to play closer to Los Angeles to be closer to his family, has chosen to accept the most recent MLS contract offer to play for the Fire. But sources tell Goal USA MLS is not willing to guarantee that Jones would be sent to the Fire upon signing a deal. I don't know what the hell any of this means, but all indications just are keep on pointing. Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. I just, you know what? This is, you said it best, this is out of the front office's hands. Now, you know what this comes down to? This comes down to whether or not people want to play in New England. Absolutely. And whether or not three factors are going to weigh into people's minds when deciding whether or not they want to come play here for the Revs now, I think. One, do you want to play for Jay Heaps? As an international player, virtually the worldly experiences that we have on the pitch here with this Revolution team, limited to nothing. I mean, yeah, Charlie Davis has had a stint over in Europe. Lee Wynn has played in Asia. That's about it. Dorman's hurt. Dorman played in England. I'm trying to think. Anybody else that's on the field right now for this New England team that has played in a semi-decent league in Europe?
No.
No. Okay, so there you go. One, if you're an international standout, do you want to come over here and play with the New England Revolution? Yeah, maybe. Well, is Jay Heaps the coach? I don't know. Is Jay Heaps able to coach these international guys? Zaire Senn, gone. Jerry Benson, gone. Jose Gonsalves, there you go. Played for Rangers.
Yes.
On his way out, most likely. The dominoes are going to start falling here. That's what I think is going to happen. I think you're going to see a completely new roster. They brought 20 guys back from last year's squad to this year's squad, right?
Yep.
You're going to see a complete roster overhaul this summer.
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, we have a lot of, for lack of a better word, dead weight on our roster. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at players like Stephen McCarthy, who's just...
Woodbine earlier this year, that was just racking up time on the bench.
Just they don't even make the bench. You know, I don't remember O'Brien Woodbine ever once making the bench.
So, Jay Heaps, do you want to come play for him if you're an international player? Secondly, how do you feel about playing in Foxborough? Because guess what? We're not going anywhere for a couple of years, folks. Get cozy inside of Gillette Stadium. Do you want to come play in Foxborough for the next 2 to 3 years? That's another question that's going to go through your mind. Thirdly.
The turf monster.
Even though that New England's not the only one with the turf.
That is true. And ours is supposed to be up to snuff with Portland's, which Bayern Munich never complained about. But ask Chris Tierney how the turf is.
Thirdly. Would you like to play in a situation where it looks like you're going to be a part of a rebuild? Those are three questions that'll go through your mind right now. If you are a free agent that could make a lot of money. And guess what? Sounds like Jermaine Jones is echoing the thoughts of a lot of players that are deciding whether or not they want to go play in New England. And the answer is no. I mean, I thought Jermaine Jones would take more than $4 million. If this is true, which Ben Jada is reporting, 4 years, 18 months. $4 million, 18 months. Then, and the Revs made their offers, then what is it going to take to bring people here to New England? I mean, really. I'm shocked a little bit. I'm a little bit shocked, actually. Because I really did think that this deal would be for much more than what Jermaine Jones could be getting here. A substantial amount. I thought he was going to be... He said he wanted Michael Bradley money. This is not Michael Bradley money by any means.
No, not at all. It's not even in the same ballpark as Michael Bradley money. I mean, Michael Bradley's making, what, $6 million a year? I mean,
a little more. It's got to be more than that, right?
I think it's six, but they paid a lot for the transfer.
There you go. That's what it was.
That's where a lot of the money came from. Toronto went to Roma for a transfer fee. I'm very shocked. One, that Chicago is more of a destination right now than New
England. I think they are, believe it or not.
I don't get it. I mean, if you look at most of the problems that the Revs have, Chicago has similar problems. I mean, the Fire do not play anywhere near Chicago. They have a very similar situation that we do. I mean, I believe they play in Bridgeview, which is 45 minutes south of Chicago.
And you can't even take the trains out there.
Yeah, it's just as bad. I mean, so that element is the same. They don't particularly have a great team. They have a lot of great parts. And I've said that time and time again. Their striking core is great. Their defense, I would have trouble naming any of their defenders off the top of my head. And I'm someone who watches MLS games all week.
Patrick Ioane, yeah. Bakari Samari.
Yeah, no one,
you can blame Samari for the Andy Dorman injury.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Larenowitz, he's a name that sticks out, but mostly because of his history with New England.
Quincy Amarikwa.
Yep, Quincy Amarikwa, Mike McGee, Harrison Shipp. Those guys, yeah, I know those guys. Those guys are good players.
Sean Johnson.
Yep, Sean Johnson. But
Patrick Nyarko.
Yeah, he's all right. Speed. That's about it.
But you know what? Isn't this the same? Okay, so you say that Chicago and New England are in similar situations. If that's the case, does it come down to that Chicago has the more of a win-now situation that New England does not present?
I would hope not. I mean, Chicago is underperforming more so than... Chicago only has 4 wins on the season. I mean, yeah, they're in it technically, but
ties.
But like we said on Tuesday, Alex said it, do the Revs have a chance? Wow. Yes, because everyone in the Eastern Conference has a chance. But they only have 4 wins on the season.
It's going to be hard to make the playoffs, man. It's going to be hard to make the playoffs now. I'm looking for anything indicating a final move with Jermaine Jones. And there's nothing showing up. And, you know, he keeps on putting out these tweets. Where am I going? You know, I know, you know, I can't wait to get back on the pitch, but where will I be playing? That's one of his tweets right now. And I'm like, dude, stop dicking around here and get something done. Like, there has to be an end game to this with Jermaine Jones. We can't be sitting through another week and a half of him trying to figure out where he's going. Yes, there's the reports are saying 24 to 48 hours, we'll know, but get it done today. Why do we need to wait any longer? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's not like there's not a lot of movable parts. There's two teams. There's two teams.
Right.
One he seems interested in, the other one he doesn't. I mean, at this point, if you're the Revs, do you even want a Jermaine Jones who's uninterested? I don't. I honestly do not want a Jermaine Jones. If he does not want to be here, I don't want him here.
Yeah.
We have enough.
That's
we have enough
point.
Problem with talented players that don't want to be here right now, where I don't want to add more to that. I mean, you're looking at Jose Gonçalves, who I honestly believe is performing much better over the last several weeks, but still questions of how much he wants to be here. You want to add 2.0 to that, where Jermaine Jones is much more of a prima donna than Jose Gonçalves is? I don't.
Maybe it's not a bad thing in the long run here. We'll see what happens. Moving away from Jermaine Jones, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment has just announced that Tim Leiwicki will step down in June 2015. CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, the guy that brought in David Beckham to LA Galaxy and to Toronto, Jermaine Jones and Michael Bradley will
Jermaine
be stepping
Defoe.
Down. Jermaine Defoe, excuse me. You're talking too much, Jermaine Jones. All right.
And Julio Cesar.
So Leiwicki's out at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. That's interesting. It seems like everywhere he's went, franchises have seen success.
Come to New England.
Yeah.
Never gonna happen.
Well, let's see here. You know, how much money does Tim Leiwicki have? Let's pull up this guy's Wikipedia page.
Yeah, a lot.
Is he a guy that maybe is working his way into some type of ownership? You know, is he going into business for himself now? Maybe. I mean, he was with AEG. He's only 57 years old, young still, sort of.
Youngish.
Could he make a move down here to New England, maybe?
Right.
Could we see new owners? Is that what we're going to get to here? Are we going to get to a point where we're going to just be wondering if new owners are going to be coming in here?
I feel like people have been having that conversation for 19 years. I mean, it's a conversation that people have, but it goes nowhere. I mean, why buy the team? Like, or if you're Kraft, why sell the team? You're not losing money.
Right, and you know what? I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I'm trying to find anything here. There's just like, you jumped in the pool and all you fell into was a puddle today. That's what we've fallen into. I thought we were going to come in here this week and maybe get some uplifting news on Jermaine Jones. I was really uplifted last week talking to Brad Feldman. A week ago, I'm talking to Feldman, and he made me a believer that Jones was coming to New England. But, you know, we got nothing going on. And now, you know, with ownership, people are just going to call them out and be like, you don't care, you don't want anything to do with this anymore. I don't know.
Which, by all accounts, people, is the wrong thing. It's not a front office thing.
It's not. It's really not.
It's not crappy ownership. It's not uninvolved front office this time.
Oh, I don't want to get involved in this for another 3 weeks.
It's not that this time. This is a different scenario.
This is what people are going to bitch and moan about for the next week and a half. Bob Kraft does not care. Bob Kraft, all he wants to do is worry about the Patriots and collect his summer paycheck with the refs. Bob Kraft has no idea about soccer. That's what we're going to hear. You know who's going to be the new Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment CEO?
Who's that?
Rob Ford.
Rob. God, I hope not.
That'd be fun, though. That would be fun, though. So, yeah. Overall, wrapping up with this section of the show. Jermaine Jones, not coming to New England. Bye-bye. See you later. Adios, muchachos. Peace. And now we move on. Maybe this team can make a playoff push. You know, they take on Chivas USA 7:30 this Saturday night down at Gillette. I know it's going to be tough for you fans to get out there without seeing a Jermaine Jones, but a couple of wins here, and you got to just worry about yourselves now. You got to worry about making the playoffs and proving last year was still not a fluke, because you have some pride here to play for if you're New England still. So play with that pride and get it done going into the playoffs. Make the playoffs and show Jermaine Jones what a mistake he made by not landing here with New England. That's got to be the mindset now.
Yeah.
I am leading the cavalry. We lead the charge.
I don't like horses.
No. We don't like them in Gillette either. Sorry, horse guy. What? No. Speaking of transfers, moving over to some other transfer news. Internationally, bigger names here. Huge. Huge mid-season move. Well, not even mid-season, early season move, right before
start of season move,
right before the transfer window closes. Mario Balotelli to Liverpool. Cathal Conlon, my friend, my Irish brethren. First off, you take care of our former Manchester citizen, you hear me? He's a good man, he's a misunderstood man, and he created some great moments for the Blues. Monday night, Liverpool versus Manchester at Anfield will be epic.
Yeah, I am.
If you're not watching the Barclays Premier League, make sure you're watching it. Excuse me. That game's going to be at the Etihad. Even better.
I'm a fan of this move, and I don't want to be. I do not like Liverpool.
Huge fan of this move. This came out of left field.
I saw it, and I didn't even believe it. Like, honestly, I did not believe that this move happened, but I love the hell out of this move. I think that Balotelli back in the EPL is good for Liverpool, and it's good for the entire league, and it's good, more importantly, for him. He did not have the most fun time in Italy.
No, they were awful.
Fans not so nice in Italy. Italian fans, some of the biggest scum of the earth. Let's be honest.
Well, there's a lot of racism out there.
Yep. Yeah. It's not a good scene there for Mr. Balotelli.
No. So, and especially with the poor World Cup he had, they would have been very ruthless to him.
So him back in EPL. Best of luck to you.
And they loved him in the EPL. I don't think that City fans were overly thrilled at first with his move leaving Manchester.
I wouldn't. I mean, if I were a Man City fan, I wouldn't like that move. I mean, Balotelli is exciting. Like, to watch him play, he's always capable of something. I mean, and sometimes it's something stupid.
There's a lot of stupid things that he does.
You know, sometimes it's something stupid. He's just one of those. I guess he's just a polarizing person. Like, you know, he's great on the pitch, or he's awful. He does really dumb things, or but it's a good move.
Looking at their
impressive.
So starting up top, you would imagine now if you're Brendan Rodgers, you play with two up top here with with Daniel Sturridge and Mario Balotelli. Midfield's got to be Coutinho at center, attacking mid. Maybe you put, you got Gerrard back there. Maybe you play a 4-4-2 flat with Gerrard, Coutinho.
Get Sterling on
off the bench again, and I think Sterling does well in those situations. Let's pull up Liverpool's midfield here. So yeah, Glenn Johnson obviously starts in the back. There we go. And then I would say, okay, so Jordan Henderson, Steven Gerrard in the middle, Coutinho on the outside, Lallana in there too, maybe. And then you put up top.
I think you put Sterling over Lallana.
You think you put Sterling over Lallana? Maybe you play a 4-3-3. Jordan Henderson, Coutinho, Gerrard.
I like Sterling. I mean, he's a player for me that they would need in there. I mean, like I said, I don't follow much Liverpool. I'm not gonna be good
you
at breaking
more
down
options.
The X's and O's.
Well, I mean, my point is that you have more options now here if you're Liverpool than you did before the season started, right? I mean, before the season started, you lost Luis Suarez, and went into the impression for the rest of the year that your top two would be Raheem Sterling and Daniel Sturridge, and your number three would be Ricky Lambert, and if you're lucky, you get a win inside the Champions League. And
I actually forgot about Lambert.
Yeah, you know? So you got four quality strikers now here for your Liverpool.
That's a deep team.
You know, this Premier League, which went into it with a lot of question marks on who would be reigning supreme, I think you reached a point now here where you're adding on to those questions and you're not finding any answers anytime soon because the quality in the top five, six teams it's so close. There's a good amount of parity within the league this year, but a lot of the top teams are very, very tightly contested.
Yeah, I mean it's not parity like you see like in the MLS where you know you got 20 teams literally fighting, at least at the start of the season. But I mean, yeah, you're looking at probably seven or eight really, really solid teams in EPL, and then you have almost like a B-level squad of the other 13 teams that are kind of fighting for mid-table, you know, and that's still pretty awesome. Like, I'm a fan of the lower teams. I love the fact that, you know, you'll see a Leicester versus, you know, Chelsea. I love that element of the underdog versus the big dog.
And there's a significant difference in those clubs too, the way they operate money wise.
Absolutely.
So, the top teams this year, obviously Liverpool, Manchester City, Arsenal, Chelsea, United, maybe even Everton. They'll shine when they need to, but the bottom teams always make it difficult, even if you want to call them the bottom teams of the Barclays Premier League, always make it difficult for the top dogs. But, Balotelli to Liverpool is massive news this morning. And on Monday, it should be even more interesting to see how Brendan Rodgers implements him into the lineup at the Etihad.
Yeah.
So we have that. Other transfer news, European-wise, I just want to touch on just because it is interesting just to note. Rojo, Marcus Rojo, moved over from Sporting Lisbon. Nani goes back to Sporting. Did you see the reaction that Nani got when he went back to Sporting?
I did not.
He got a huge Nani! Nani! Hold on. Let me pull this up. But I like the addition of Rojo to that Manchester United back line because there really was not anything encouraging you saw from that first opening game. And no.
Man, you looked awful in that opener.
I think a lot of the issues going into the season was, okay, how can we as a United get an enhancement defensively? And you thought you had that with Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw is now hurt for a while. He's going to be out. You know, you don't have great gigs back there anymore. You don't have the Manu Vidic back there anymore. So new defensive days are coming for the Reds. But here's this reaction from Nani arriving back at the airport. This was nuts. He put the mic up to this because it's interesting.
Which Reds fans are like this?
That's just never going to end, is it?
It's just never going to end. And, I mean, he's walking through the airport. I mean, and that's just him at the airport. Imagine when he gets back to playing full-time. I mean,
they realize what they're getting in a player, right? Like, he's
not one of the elites, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Ronaldo walking through the door. It's not Messi.
It's their savior!
It's not even Wayne Rooney walking through the door. I mean, Nani's a solid player, but, I mean, that was...
It's a little excited.
Yeah.
Really happy to see him back. Other transfer news. So Nani's back in Sporting. Rojo to the United back line. Rojo, red. Ha 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 ha.
Oh.
Sammy Khedira and Angel Di Maria informed Ancelotti over at Real Madrid that they would like to be transferred. So that is another big piece of news coming in here this morning about the future of Real Madrid. And maybe what I predicted might come true here. Di Maria goes to Paris Saint-Germain, and Escobar Lavezzi goes to Chelsea.
Wonder who would look really good in Arsenal out of those two?
Sammy Khedira.
Khedira.
Yep.
That would look... maze balls in the Gunners red.
And that would automatically probably put them as 1A and 1B with Chelsea.
Yeah.
I find it hard for Man City to compete only because of the lack of presence that they have at center back and probably somebody put next to Yaya Toure.
Yeah, I mean, I have Chelsea 1A, 1B. I mean, I don't even want to say 1A, 1B. One of those two are going to win. I mean,
right.
I don't even want to give it A and B because then there's qualifiers with that. But, that would be a good conversation that hopefully we can have Tuesday on how he would look with Arsenal when we have the Gunners on.
Yes.
Segway.
Look at you. Doing work, kid.
Getting to be a radio professional over here, kid.
All right. So yeah, those are exciting days ahead in terms of what to expect here in the transfer market. Maybe some good news from some Chelsea fans this week. The window closes in 10 days. The transfer window does on September the 31st. August the 31st. And that's a Sunday too. So what's good is that on transfer deadline day, we're gonna have a full-blown explosion of none other than America's sports broadcasting goddess, Rebecca Lowe.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Rebecca.
I am a huge fan of Rebecca Lowe. She is...
consummate professional is what she is.
The Men in Blazers, Arlo White, Tim Howard, now Martin Tyler. That if that was a baseball lineup,
one what I really want.
What's up?
I want Ted Lasso to be a real person. I want Jason Sudeikis to do Ted Lasso
on NBC
365. Like, I want to see him every single week. I mean,
right?
That is,
like, if we have
hilarious.
To put up with Frank Caliendo,
yeah,
and the Fox crew.
Yeah, like, why? Yeah, why can't he do that? Why Jason Sudeikis can be soccer's Frank Caliendo?
Yes, that's it.
I mean,
we make money for people. We make a lot of money for people.
Also, here. What I noticed yesterday, speaking of the Men in Blazers, number one podcast on iTunes.
How do you like that?
Number one podcast. And we were obviously number two.
We were obviously number two.
But yeah, that's
sorry, guys.
Everyone obviously is taking to Raj and Devo. I mean, they're great. I love the hell out of Men in Blazers.
I mean, if you want to learn more about just England, and if you want to just like a full blown explore, just listen to them for an hour, and you'll be educated on everything you need to know.
I could listen to them read the phone book.
Oh yeah,
like especially Raj.
One making comparisons and the other one trying to be as analytical as possible.
Yep. I love that.
It's a good combination.
Yeah, I like it.
And
we need British accents.
Yes, but NBC hit it out of the park with their new lineup now of talent that they have out there. And on deadline day, this will be the first deadline day that NBC does live. So that should be very interesting to see how the madness goes. I love when NBC Sports puts on soccer, and I love it even more when we can return to the Premier League. You know what? Let's return to the Premier League now, shall we? Shall we?
Why not?
Because we love the Premier League. We also have some Champions League stuff, too. Arsenal drawing 0-0.
What a snooze fest. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I mean, the most exciting thing to happen in that game happened in the first 2 seconds of the game. Did you see it?
I did not see any of it.
Dembaba, off the opening kick, almost scored from
right, he tried to fool Szczęsny.
Yeah, and it almost worked. It was so very, very close. I nearly pooped my pants, and I didn't swear. Because I'm going to prove to you that I can go a whole podcast without saying the S-H-I-T word.
I like your style.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Beşiktaş ties Arsenal in Beşiktaş 0-0.
Well, in Istanbul.
In Istanbul, thank you.
Not Constantinople.
Not Constantinople. But, yeah, they'll return next Wednesday, August 27th, so 6 days from now, when Arsenal will host Beşiktaş in the Emirates.
The game's going to go a lot different. The pitch in Istanbul was awful. I mean, you could see it when they zoomed in on the field. It looked
torn up.
Awful. It looked like an obstacle course. It just dreadful. I mean, Arsenal got CONCACAF'd in that situation. Like that the condition of that field was so poor. That's something you get in, you know, like,
if you're a top flight club, you should have a nice pitch.
Absolutely.
Turks and Caicos. If you're a top flight club, you should have a world-class pitch.
Absolutely.
Like, you should be paying top dollar for your grounds crew.
Yep.
They should be monitoring it throughout the day. Nobody should be allowed to step on the damn thing until 90 minutes is starting to get played.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny. It's actually one of those tracks that it's got a track around it. And I'm like, this is not top flight to me. Like, this is like borderline.
That's
like
the old. That's
stuff.
The back in the day soccer stadiums. I think UEFA and FIFA as a whole would like to get away from their soccer stadiums having a big track around it. Because back in the 2006 World Cup, Germany had that.
Yeah.
And I think in 2010, South Africa had that a little bit, where you had this huge, massive track separating the fans from the field, and you don't get a real sense of the game that way.
Yep.
Nowadays, I think you got to go the other direction.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That game's going to go totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, there were situations where that game probably easily could have been 3-1 to Arsenal if that were at the Emirates.
So, yeah, next Wednesday they'll play Beşiktaş, and we'll see if Arsenal can get themselves into the Champions, which starts soon.
They're going.
You think so?
They're going.
Okay.
They win that game, no doubt.
They've done it the last couple years.
17.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty decent.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
It's a pretty impressive record.
I mean, they might not have the hardware, but 17 years.
It's like the Detroit Red Wings in a way, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah.
Always making it to the playoffs, never can do anything once they get in there. Sort of the way that red teams go. All right. So Barclays Premier League this weekend, week number 2. Fantasy teams are set. We are so excited to start our fantasy weekend. But to open the weekend, my captain. I actually made this guy my captain this weekend. Brad Guzan, my captain of my fantasy team. Going to be home at Villa Park, taking on Newcastle. And a shout out to my buddy Adam Gabbard, big Aston Villa supporter. He'll be up in the morning watching. The Villains try to make it 2-0 on the season against Alan Pardew's Geordies.
I'd love it. I'd
love it too.
I just picked up Ron Vlahar for my fantasy team.
Ron Vlahar is a solid pickup.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I got rid of Jeff Cameron. I let that ship sail.
You like Stoke City?
I don't like Stoke City. I like Jeff Cameron.
No. Like you like Stoke City in the sense that you're both shipping off Jeff Cameron.
We've both given up.
given up.
Yeah, but
I haven't given up on you, Jeff.
I've only given up any fantasy. I love Jeff Cameron. Good guy. If we want to talk fantasy, last week, 51 points.
That's a good way to start. I had 46.
I had 51 points, and I started Ross Barkley and Jeff Cameron. So, yeah.
Not a bad way to start the Premier League season for you. But
I was all right with it.
So Aston Villa and Newcastle will start us out 7:45. NBC Sports Network. Obviously, coverage starts at 7 o'clock in the morning with Rebecca Lowe. My Saturdays have returned. Like, I don't want to sleep in on Saturdays. I want to wake up and watch Rebecca Lowe. And following Aston Villa and Newcastle on the NBC Sports Network will be Chelsea and Leicester at Stamford Bridge, where Mourinho has one loss.
Yeah, I mean, Leicester's not winning that game.
No. They got lucky. They had a nice opening weekend with a 2-2 draw. But
like I said, I love the drama of it. I like the fact that Leicester technically could win that game. They're not winning that game. It's going to be brutal.
Diego Costa looked good in his opening run.
He did. Chelsea's looking good.
Crystal Palace and West Ham United, the other 10 o'clock game. It doesn't say NBC Sports Network Extra Time, though, for some reason. That's interesting to me. But, yeah, that's Crystal Palace and West Ham. Probably not a lot of people want to watch Sam Allardyce lose anymore. I don't. I'm surprised the guy still has a job.
Yeah.
We'll see what the Hammers do. We'll see if they avoid relegation. I think they actually go down this year. Maybe. I think there's a very good chance they could go down.
I think their team's talented just enough not to get relegated. I think it's very similar to last year where they do just enough not to drop.
The T-Men. Southampton versus West Bromwich Albion at St. Mary's. Southampton had a pretty good opening weekend, I thought. Victor Wanyama, the ageless wonder.
He's a good player.
He is a good player.
And now they have Fraser Foster from Celtic.
Foster, yep.
That was a good pickup. That went way under the radar. I mean, I actually kind of wanted to talk about that when it happened and forgot. But that was a great pickup. He's a really solid keeper.
Nice little backup, too, there for Joe Hart. They could have used him in the World Cup. Actually, no. I people give Joe Hart a lot of slack. I do, too. He just drives me crazy sometimes, with some of the saves that you think he should make and he doesn't. But that's just me because I'm critical. Swansea and Burnley. Swansea with an amazing opening weekend at Manchester. I think they pull this one out.
Top of the table. Swansea. Top of the table.
I picked up John Joe Shelby for my fantasy team, so we'll see.
I did. Didn't Swansea have a great last start of the season, too?
They did.
I feel like they were like in like fifth place for a while there. Like,
they were, and then they tailed off towards like the middle of December, I believe it was.
Do they still have Bonnie?
I don't think so. Okay. I got to check that.
He was like the one player I really liked on that team.
Wilfred Bonnie.
Yeah.
Let me check that right now, actually, while we have it.
Ivory Coast, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, good player. The other game at 10 o'clock will be Everton and Arsenal. Excuse me, that is a 12:30 game at the Toffees Ground of beautiful Goodison Park.
Yeah,
it is in Merseyside, though. Yeah, it's in Merseyside. And who were you just asking about?
Wilfred Bonney.
Wilfred Bonney is... He is. There we go.
Yeah, okay, he is.
Ivory Coast. So, yeah, going back, 12:30 game, NBC, Arlo White, Tim Howard on the field, Everton, Arsenal. That game should actually draw in record ratings for the simple fact that Tim Howard is playing.
Yeah,
he's going to be a national treasure from now on, and always, in my opinion, will be a lot of people's like the player that they latch on to.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, and deservingly so. I think that. That game's going to be a really great game. It's probably going to be one of the better games of the week. You're also looking at, you're going to get the Tim Howard factor. You're also going to get the Everton factor. Everton has a huge fan base in America, and so does Arsenal. I mean, those are two very well-supported teams here. That's going to be a really good game to watch. And that's at 12:30?
That's at 12:30.
I might have to go hang out with the Blues or maybe even the Gunners.
You have to choose which one you want to hang out with.
I like the Gunners better.
I like the Blues, though. Well, they're friendly people.
It's not people-wise. I like the team.
I'm going with people. You Gooners are crazy.
Well, if we're going with people, I like them both equally.
Hull City versus Stoke. And this might be Jeff Cameron's possible landing spot. This is a Sunday 8:30 game on extra time. Maybe Hull. Defensively, they've been struggling with players. I think Hull City would be a great landing spot for Jeff Cameron, and I hope he goes there. That's all I got to say about that. Eventually, though, we will get Asmir Begovic on the show, starting goalkeeper for Stoke City.
Let's do it.
Tottenham and QPR, 8:30 game on CNBC. Tottenham, man. I love Tottenham. Julio Cesar off. They shipped him off to Portugal.
They did.
Benfica.
Yeah. I actually always forget there's games on like CNBC and
I don't know why they put them on there.
MSNBC. I just when I wake up in the morning, I put on NBC Sports.
Love it.
That's it. It's on until I leave for Revs games, and then I come home, and then MLS game of the week's on, and it's I love this time of year. I mean, it's soccer from. What, 7 a.m. till
like 9 at night?
No, till like 2 in the morning.
That's true, too, when you got the West Coast games in Seattle playing.
Yeah. I'm watching till at least 12 o'clock. It's fantastic.
Sunderland and Manchester United on NBC Sports Network. That's actually on. So they go from CNBC at 8:30 to NBC Sports Network at 11. Sunderland and Man U. And I'm going with Man U to take a big win here against Sunderland, especially after the way they started the season. But we'll see. We never know. Right? Right.
Prediction. Jose Altidore. One goal.
If that happens, I will buy you a coffee for Tuesday.
One goal. Josie.
Or a iced tea, whichever you prefer.
I'll go with the iced tea. Thank you.
Okay. Manchester City versus Liverpool at the Etihad. Monday Night Football, 3 o'clock. Oh, now that is a game that it's almost unbelievable to imagine that on last year's game, which featured featured Man City and Liverpool, probably the game of the year on the anniversary of the Hillsborough 25, Hillsborough 96, excuse me, 25th anniversary of the Hillsborough 96. Game of the year last year, Liverpool takes it. Now going into this week, everybody's thinking Man City, easy favorites in this one, especially a big 2-0 win to open against Newcastle. Liverpool, man. Can you believe it that they will bring in former hero of Main Road, Mario Balotelli, to start up top this weekend?
Yeah, it's... I don't know. The Balotelli thing, I know we talked about it already, but... It almost makes me not hate Liverpool because they've done nothing wrong this season. I'm all about teams redeeming themselves. They got rid of the scum Suarez. Now they're bringing in Balotelli. They've done two things so far I like.
Which is?
Got rid of Suarez.
Right.
And got Balotelli. So I don't think I hate them anymore.
So you're turning a cheek.
I'm turning over a new leaf with Liverpool. I no longer hate you.
Slowly.
Official. Brian speaks. No longer hates Liverpool.
John Henry looks like a genius today.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, look at the socks.
No, he looks like a genius. I think you sold Luis Suarez for close to $100 million.
What about John Lester?
Screw John Lester. Screw the fans of Yawkey Way. Screw the people who sit on top of the Green Monster. I don't give a damn about junior baseball season. Guess what? It's over. And guess what? We take over our soccer for another 9 months. Ha 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 ha.
My Boston accent's way better than yours.
It is.
But,
oh, this is great. Did you see this? The Balotelli selfie with Suarez.
That's fantastic.
I'm going to post this. So that there's a picture of Mario Balotelli getting bitten by Luis Suarez out there. Balotelli taking a selfie. I'll post it right now. So that's funny. Let's jump over to check out the MLS stuff. We're pretty much done. You have nothing else you want to say about the weekend, right?
Nope.
Okay, cool. So MLS, we had Champions League this week. Just really quick, running through those games. DC wins their Champions League game 1-0 versus Waterhouse FC. So shout out to Ben Olsen's crew for getting it done.
Something they haven't done in MLS lately.
New. Portland gets a 4-1 win over Alpha United. And then you had You had the other Champions League game was Montreal taking down CDFAS. And that is where we stand. Last night's games in MLS, Seattle and San Jose went to a 1-1 draw. And LA doing like everybody does recently in MLS, beating up on Colorado by a final tick of 4-3.
Colorado did some beating up too, though. I mean,
earlier in the year.
Even in that game, I mean.
They were down 3-1.
4-3, I mean, it. Yeah, it was competitive.
But they got punched out in the end.
They did.
Alan
Gordon got a goal. I hated to like that goal, too. It was like textbook to me. It was like long ball, header in the box, to the foot, in. I was like, damn, that looked nice. It did not look like typical Alan Gordon bro guy play. So
you ready for the games this weekend?
Yes.
Dallas and Real Salt Lake kick us off tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Dallas is one of my favorite teams in the Western Conference.
Really?
Oscar Pereira has done a great job with it. Wow. Dallas and Vancouver are my two favorite teams in the West. Two new coaches.
Those are my two teams I don't like in the West. That's hilarious.
I think, listen, Real Salt Lake is going to contend for the rest of the year for a Supporters Shield spot. I think it's going to be very tough, but if they could take a win versus Dallas this weekend, a Dallas team that's trying to stay locked into the playoff race, it'll be great for Real Salt Lake. It could hurt the momentum of Dallas moving down the stretch here because that's still tightly contested at the bottom of the table for those final playoff spots.
I think what Dallas does is what Dallas has always done. They're going to burn out. Which, ironic, they were. Used to be the Dallas Burn. They're going to burn out.
We're so punny.
They're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to make it on the fifth spot. I don't think they're going to be 1, 2, or 3. Right now, they're third. This week is huge for the Western Conference. I mean, you have Seattle and LA up two games this week. They just played last night. They play again on Saturday. RSL is playing Dallas. The Western Conference is going to look very different Monday morning than it does right now. I mean, even from last night, I mean, Seattle now is tied in points.
Game that they should have took.
Yeah, they absolutely should have taken that game. That was just a pitiful, pitiful letdown towards the end with Seattle.
They're now 13-7-3 on the year. I will say this about that game last night. If there's one person that did impress me above all else, I really was encouraged by the play of DeAndre Yedlin.
He was fantastic, and he was so spotlighted in that game. That was all the announcers were talking about because Dempsey started on the bench, so everything
which
was
I didn't
DeAndre
get.
Yedlin. I think it's just they have a game Saturday.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, they probably weren't thinking too highly of San Jose. Right now, one of the worst teams in the league. They were at home. They should have easily won that game. And they didn't. And it sucks that they didn't. But the team offensively did not look the same without Dempsey on the field. Kenny Cooper and Obafemi Martins do not sync up the same way that Dempsey and Obafemi Martins do. So that definitely hurt them in the long run. But if my memory serves correct, their game on Saturday is against RSL?
No.
LA. No, somewhere.
Dallas?
No, Seattle.
Oh, Seattle plays... Seattle's off this weekend.
No, they're not. They play two games this week.
Come on. Where are you? Now the schedule thing is just blowing all over the place. Seattle will play... No, they don't want to put it up there.
Okay. They play someone else.
And they play someone else.
I'm pretty sure it's one of the top teams in there. I almost want to say it's LA or RSL. So I think they're putting more stock on their game Saturday.
They play the 24th versus Portland in Portland.
Okay, so that makes perfect sense. I mean, that's their game.
You got to win that game. Yeah.
Portland, Seattle, rivalry game. You're gonna pull out all stops to win that game.
And, you know, you're going to want to have, if you're Seattle, you'd like to knock Portland out of the playoff race completely.
Absolutely. And they have the ability to do that this week.
Speaking of playoffs, New York fighting for fifth. They'll be at home to take on Montreal.
Layup.
Everybody should be saying that against Montreal, including the Revs, right? Well, Toronto and Chicago. Toronto will host Chicago. I think you could see a little bit of a faltering here from Toronto FC. That could be interesting to see how the way the rest of their season plays out. And that is a 7 o'clock game, both 7 o'clock games. The 7:30 games, Columbus hosting Houston. I think if you're a Revs fan, you'd like to see Houston take a point from that game, because in terms of where the playoffs stand, Columbus sits with 30 points, New England sits with 30 points, Houston sits with 28 points. If New England could take a win this weekend and you get a loss with Columbus and New York, you automatically are back in fourth place if you're the Refs. Wins will put you ahead of both New York and Columbus. So you're playing for something here if you're the Revs, and I think you're scoreboard watching in a sense, too, because I think you'd like to have Houston take all three versus the Crew.
Interesting tidbit of Houston. They have the second-worst goal differential in the league.
And they still are fighting for a playoff spot.
I was surprised. I looked that up last night because we were talking about, you know, how every year Dom Kinnear's team is in the playoffs, and I was like, well, how far are they out? They're not far out.
No.
The Eastern Conference is kind of a laughing stock right now.
Eastern Conference has got the Houston Dynamo 7-12-4 with 25 points.
Yep. And they're only 3 points out of the playoff spot.
Eighth place. With 25 points, Dynamo would be tied for eighth in the Western Conference with San Jose, and they would be 8 points behind Vancouver for the fifth place spot.
Yep.
So there you go. New England and Chivas, 7:30. The Mecca, that is the house of Robert Kraft.
That should be a really interesting game.
Well, you know what? I mean, if they don't come out and win this weekend, put a lid on the season. Put a lid on the season. You should be able to take 3 points from the worst team in the second worst team in the league this year, Chivas USA.
Yeah, but Chivas is really interesting. So their last five games, they have 4 wins, 4 losses, 1 draw. They won a 4-game winning streak, followed by a 4-game losing streak that was broke last week by tying against Vancouver. So it's a very interesting team. It's almost kind of similar to how the Revs were. They were great. Well, they started out awful, but they did great for 4 games. They did bad for 4 games. And now they're kind of like
in the middle.
Like, who knows? They have Carlos Bocanegra out still. It looks like he's missed the last 4 games with a concussion. So hopefully that that stays the same and we don't see him, and you have a very different defense.
Chivas is would be 4 points behind New York right now if they were playing in the East. Absolutely incredible. Other Sunday night games include Sporting Kansas City hosting DC United. So from an Eastern Conference perspective, it's interesting to see where that goes. I think if you're a Revs fan, again, you'd like to see DC United lose that game because Sporting Kansas City is not losing grip of their title, top of the Eastern Conference.
Yep. Just let Sporting beat up on everyone else in the East. No one's going to catch them. They'll win the East, whatever. Yep. I don't care. It's not a goal anymore. I just want playoffs. Let them beat them. Everyone ahead of you, you want to lose at this point, except for Casey. I mean, if Casey loses, it doesn't really matter either, but you don't want the other teams to catch up.
No, I mean, you'd like to start separating yourselves here if you're New England, and if you're in the playoff run as fast as you can from everybody else.
Yeah.
L.A. hosting Vancouver. Two playoff teams fighting right there in the Western Conference. I love Vancouver. Like I said, fifth place, 33 points, 7-4-12 on the year. Four as their goal differential, plus four. LA Galaxy, plus 13 with 37 points at 10-5-7. We'll see what they do. Giassi Zardes is my favorite player. And if we had our special guest on today like we were supposed to, I'm sorry about that.
It hurts more because I know who it was supposed to be now.
You're not supposed to tell the people that you know.
But the cat is out of the bag.
Not really.
I know. Okay, so everyone, I know, and it hurts more knowing. You don't know, so that's good.
You broke my heart. You told the people.
But we could always...
We can always reschedule this person.
Yes.
He's not hard to find.
Or we could just edit this whole part out, and I could be like, I don't know who it is.
Yeah, but that requires me doing work.
Yeah, I think it's fine. At this point, I found out, late last night?
Late last night.
Who it was supposed to be.
I'm sure you got a little excited.
I was more than excited. I had awesome notes. I was going to be prepared. I was going to be professional. I didn't say S-H-I-T.
Kept it clean today.
Yeah. I wore my Star Trek shirt and everything.
Damn it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We'll have this person on again, I swear.
But anyways,
we digress. All right. LA, Vancouver, Giassi Zardes, stud.
Picked him up on fantasy. He's my captain this week.
Let him score a goal. Score two more goals, and this kid is going to take off further than we can ever think.
Two games this week. Fantasy captain. Lock of the week.
ESPN2, 5 o'clock Sunday evening. It is Portland Timbers hosting Seattle Sounders.
It's a good game.
It is a good game.
I love when Portland...
Cascadia Cup.
...plays Seattle. Is that game in Portland or is it in
Portland.
In Portland.
So you know what the Timbers Army is going to bring that night. Especially after a huge road win last weekend versus the Revs. Huge. I don't think fans in this area understand how bad that loss was for the Revs and how huge that was for Portland. Portland stayed alive in the playoff. Excuse me. It was a tie.
Yes.
But it was really like a loss for the Revs and a win for Portland.
It was definitely a gut punch for the Revs. Any time. I mean, we did the same thing last year. We tied, I think it was 0-0. Against Portland, and I loved it. I'm a Portland fan. I say that week in and week out. I love the Timbers. I love the Revs. So to see them tie for me, it's not that bad of a thing. But if you can go to the other side of the country and walk out with a point, that's good news. Anytime. That's always good news. And Portland just won 4-1 in the Champions League. So, I mean, Portland's doing good things. They've been doing good things for 6 weeks now. They're on the up. I'm telling you right now, Portland makes the playoffs.
I believe that. And then the final one for the weekend, Philadelphia hosting San Jose, 8 o'clock game in Dupland. If you're a Revs fan, you are the biggest Earthquakes fan that evening.
Hoping for Goonie time.
Goonies!
They're good enough for you.
Good enough for me. Yeah, Jermaine Jones.
That was interesting.
It was interesting, wasn't it? I've gotten to the point where I'm more than just delirious. I'm so, like, fed up with dealing with nonsense. But, hopefully the nonsense turns down for just 1 week. For 1 week this weekend when the Revs take on Chivas USA.
Yeah, the Revs need to win. The Revs should win. Everything is stacked in the Revs' favor. And last time I said this, guess what happened? The Revs won. The Revs won. Last time they were supposed to win. They should beat Chivas. There's no reason not to. Like I said, their defense is hurting. Boca Negra is a huge fixture. It's not as bad. Our defense is much better than Chivas's. The only issue is Eric Torres. Is he gonna show up? And if he does, then bad news.
All right. You ready for this weekend?
I'm ready for this weekend.
Cool. We'll be back on Tuesday with Brian Speaks. We're here with him every week.
Tuesday,
Wednesday, Thursday is the new schedule right now. Because we got Monday Night Football stuff going on in England and want to make sure we do everything the right way. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is the schedule you can anticipate for next week.
But if you did a show Monday, you could break down the Monday Night Football game.
I know, but to be honest, I want to get Cathal on. I want to go head-to-head with Cathal.
Do it.
Liverpool, Man City. Cathal Conlon.
Shot fired.
I'm calling you out, bro. Bring your red. Bring your boots. And bring your big Irish hands. I'm calling you out, Merseyside.
I feel like he has regular size hands.
Stop it. He has big Irish hands.
I feel like his hands are proportional to his body.
You know the giants that they speak of in Irish folk tales?
Yes.
That's what I imagine Cathal Conlon.
Have you met Cathal? He's a proportional person.
He's a voice in my ear with a very, very, very large presence that I imagine.
I would love to have Cathal on Tuesday.
I would make that happen then.
We have the Gooners on Tuesday. Boston Gooners. We could do two interviews.
Two guys, one interview?
Be different interviews. I don't think Cathal wants to talk about Arsenal.
All right, fine. We'll work that out. Maybe Tuesday or Thursday. I want to get Conlon on here soon.
Of the Far Post podcast.
Of the legendary Far Post podcast. So, that's it.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, man.
People, get to Gillette. I'll see you then.